So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're very grateful tonight for the fact that you are here. There is no doubt in our minds that has been proven conclusively. And also, by revelation, we know that which has been proven. Your way, Lord, astounds us, that makes us marvel, that is so accurate, so good. And, Lord, though all could be deceived, we are not deceived, because we are of that election. We're so happy for that. We rejoice in you, Lord. Thou art our strength, our high tower, our exceeding great reward, our courage, your all things, Lord. And this is wonderful. We're so grateful that God is our refuge. And this is true for us, Lord, that your presence is against the gates of hell. The gates of hell may be against us, but you are against that which is against us. Every tongue even that rises in judgment against us, we shall condemn. We become instruments of judgment. It shall not prosper. We're grateful for that. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, we commend ourselves to you this evening, our with joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, try not to be too long tonight for various reasons, one of which is I want to try to keep from getting a little bit too tired, especially in the throat, and also to not get into too much material. Now, tonight I'm going to deal on the way of God. Instead of a devotional message, which would be fine, we're going to look at the subject of the way of God. And we'll begin by reading in Psalm 95 and 10. 40 long years was I grieved with this generation and said, it is the people that do err in their hearts. See, they don't have that heart knowledge. They have not known my ways. The thought there is, they have not known my ways. The 103rd Psalm, and this is the 7th verse, which is one we're all familiar with. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of men. Now, Moses knew his ways, and the children of Israel did not. They saw his acts. That's all they saw. They couldn't put the two together. Then in Proverbs 16 and 25, we read here, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And over in Amos, the 3rd chapter, quoting the one that Brother Branham used so much, verse 7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. So we're looking at the ways of God as delineated in Scripture. Now, this message will not attempt to detail the ways of God, as though I had a revelation that dealt thoroughly with the subject. Rather, it's an attempt to tell of a certain peculiar way that is actually started in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, and is carried throughout the Bible even to this hour. Now, looking briefly at our Scripture, which we read, it is most definite that this way that we are perusing includes a prophet. In Psalm 103:7, the prophet Moses is mentioned, and then in Amos, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. In other words, what God is doing, when it manifests, will be the preliminary to and contain a secret, which would be a revelation. So, looking at this thought, the way of God, as we're looking at it tonight, most definitely includes a prophet. A prophet must be there. And you remember when I taught on Thursday night in Columbus, that we showed you very, very conclusively that there cannot be a prophet man unless the prophet God is there. No way. Prophet man is not existent without prophet God in the same arena. We also notice in Psalm 103:7 that miraculous manifestation is not a means of revelation, although it is a part of the way, but God attracts attention by means of the miraculous or the stupendous, the phenomenal, whatever he's doing, and the revelation is separate. Now, finally, from the context of Psalm 95 and 10, both God and his way are disproved or disapproved of in an Exodus period. Now, so that you get that, I want to repeat that, that you will notice that there is certain scripture here that lets us know that in an Exodus period, both God and his way are disapproved by the people. That same Psalm, verse 7, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the flock, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, put me to the test, did not approve of me, and saw my works. For 40 long years was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is the people that do err in their heart, they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And remember, the Exodus period under Moses types the last Exodus out of Babylon and out of this earth into the millennium. And, of course, it is in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning at the third verse. For let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, he's pulling a real bluff, and he's got the people nailed in where he wants them with this affirmation. Now, that's the situation. Watch more. Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he that hindereth will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence, even him whose presence is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Now listen, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Notice the Exodus takes place after there is a revelation which has to do with what we saw here in back in the time of Moses, the bride going away. Now, you can only run true to a form because it says they never did know his way. Now, if they didn't know his way back there, how are they going to know his way today if his way is not the same today as it was back there? The Alpha and Omega principle. The fact that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God does not do one thing but has not been previously done before and stays within the fashion. So before there can be a falling away, before there can be that one coming in manifestation, which is the mystery of iniquity, then there would have to be the manifestation of the mystery of godliness, so that there would be a conclusive pattern. Because God cannot vary from his pattern. So, with all deceivableness, they're going to leave the truth which could save them. And for this cause, God will send the strong delusion that they should believe the lie, which the lie was, you shall not die but surely live. Now remember, the thesis of the Roman Catholic Church for centuries has been, through the succession of popes, they will bring righteousness upon this earth until he to whom they are the vicar can come back and take over. So you're going to see some pretty stupendous things at the end time. You better not be a part of it. You better know how God does things, which I'm sure you're well aware of by now. Now that we understand this much of the subject, the way that God does things, we go to Scripture for illustrative proof of this principle. And we see how it works. We're going to see exactly how God works through this prophet, God ministry, the miraculous, and the understanding of what he is doing, and the entering into the understanding whereby the individual and individuals are saved. In the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter, and verses 1 through 12. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. And the messenger of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now notice, see, don't get mixed up in your language. You notice it says in the 2nd verse, the messenger of the Lord. And then it says that this messenger was in the burning bush. But in verse 4 it says, when the Lord saw, he turned aside, God called out of the midst of the bush. So God was his own messenger. God's his own prophet. He's his own apostle. He's his own pastor. He's his own teacher. I'm getting steamed up. But I got reason to be. Let me tell you, this church, some of its attitudes could drive me to distraction or almost suicide. But I get with this word. The word of God begins to slant into something happens. Let me tell you, I'm putting you on your guard. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Don't sit here. I never preach anymore without I've come right down. Last Sunday is going to be my next last sermon for a long, long time. You listening? Let's get this, Quincy. You heard Terry Sproul preach. I never coached that boy. But his ministry lives because of one preacher looking at. Listen, Quincy. You heard grace is God plus nothing? God's his own messenger. Somebody tell you Jesus Christ is God doesn't know his book. God was in Christ. Okay, all these back. God's his own messenger. I said, God's his own messenger. He's his own prophet. He may need a sounding board. He may need pastors. He may need teachers. But they better be in the mouth. Don't get up here and talk to me about somebody's got authority. Don't you parrot it in your seats, because I know what goes on. I meet you down that road, I'm telling you, God's his own authority. You better blink your eyeballs. God help this church done smarten up and begin getting on the right track. You think old Lee Vale's kidding you? I got news for you. I'll meet you down that road as sure as Lee Vale stands here and you sit there. And every word's on this tape's going to come back if I've lied to you. And every word's going to come back to you if I've told you the truth. There is a way that God's got. And we're dealing with God tonight. We're not dealing with Lee Vale and William Branham. That's right. That's right. He sent a messenger, did he? He was the messenger. God spoke out of that bush. He said, Moses, Moses. I think God doesn't know our names. Did you hear my? Drawn up hither, put thy shoes from off thy feet in the place thou... whereon thou standest as holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God, Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. The pillar fire wasn't God, but it was God. Jesus wasn't God, but he was God. God, we're wrapped up in the doorknob. And if God, we're wrapped up in William Branham. God was in the prophets. Let us sink in. Don't be scared. Get all your fears and worries in your life. I don't have any fears. I get mad as a firecracker up here and let you have it. But I got no fear. I'm not afraid of one year altogether put together. I've made my peace today. The gates of hell are against me. I care less. I don't say I care less as though I care less. Just be sure you ain't part of it. Just for sure we're part of the gates of God, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm the God of Isaac. Afraid to look upon God. Nobody can see God live. No man can see God live. Ain't no way. I believe that goes straight down to glorification. I don't believe anything has the power to see God. Jesus himself said no man can see God. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. They saw everything that there was of God when they saw Jesus. God poured into him everything he was. We're looking at the same thing here, God in that burning bush. The Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt and heard their cry by reason their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land in the good land, a large of flows of milk and honey. Down there, he names the names. Therefore now behold, the cry of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression where the Egyptians oppressed them. He saw it all along. He said, this is the day of reckoning. What about Quincy? What about this church? What about all the churches say to be the Branham message? The vindicated message of Almighty God, God being his own prophet using a reflector. You're looking down the road, aren't you? Forget it. It's as though judgment struck this hour. Oh, Brother Vail, I got away with things in the past, did you? Come on, it's judgment tonight. It's not down the road. I go around the country, I watch women getting their heels higher and higher. Can't tell them anything. Get them down! So you don't wobble. I'm not a fool. I may look like one, act like one, but I'm not really. Don't tell me that that was the time God saw it. That's the time he saw too much. He said the cup's full. I'm going to whack them. Come now, therefore, and I'll send unto Pharaoh, thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now he tells them who they are. My children, children of Israel. Not denomination. Israelites. Israelites are what? Princes with God. In the last day, there'll be a certain group of people talking a certain way, and God hears them. And there's a fellow in Pennsylvania. And there's nothing to hurt you. And they're all around saying, pray, 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 that'll do it. I've got news for you. It won't do it. It's a certain talking you're doing with each other. Until this message gets a hold where all gossip and everything else is put out of the way, all innuendos, inunditions, well, you know how you inundate a thing with this and that. They talk a certain way, and he says, those are my Jews. They're the Israelites. We understand each other. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, certainly I'll be with thee. Now, Moses, how did I tell you I'm going on down and tell you to go down? And we're both doing the same job unless I'm there with you. How could he not be present today if he's here to raise the dead and the dead haven't been raised? Someone says the pillar of fire gone back.
I care less if you call him a pillar of fire, just call him a spirit. God is here. Elohim is here, the one that raises the dead. I know he is because the dead haven't been raised. The sweet spirit hasn't come into the church. You say, Brother Bailey, you need one. I've been dead all my life. What about you? Certainly I'll be with you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you'll serve God upon this mountain. Listen. God makes himself and his purpose known to the prophet, but based on a former prophecy. All scripture given by inspiration of God. So therefore, every succeeding scripture in this hour is based upon the precedent of the unfailing word of God. Now that same God said, 400 years I'm going to bring him out. 400 years I'm going to let this thing go on and on and on. I'll let it go on, he said. I'll just let it go. But he said, there's a day coming. Now, this was that day. Now, Exodus, the 4th chapter, 1 to 9. Moses answered and said, behold, they'll not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they'll say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Oh, that's a great cock and bull story you got there, Moses. What do you got up your sleeve? You're going to take us out and mess us up? What's this plan? We haven't seen God. And the Lord said, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground and became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. He put his hand forth, caught it, and became a rod in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and God of Jacob, had appeared to thee. Now, that never happened before. You didn't see too much happen back there in those days before Moses came on the scene. You saw God appearing to his prophets. A little sign here, a little sign there. About the best sign of all was when the fire came down and ripped off Sodom and Gomorrah. Took a run out like a blast. They say the mark is still there. You can find it right today in the ground. That's why Velikovsky built his theory of the worlds in collision and instantaneous creation. And he took everything in the Bible, even where the fire came down when Elijah called it down, the trace is right there. But he put it down as a phenomenon. Not some phenomenon at all. It was God himself doing it. They didn't have. Now, where did this come from? Serpent by the tail. Well, any sign will do. Any sign that's supernatural will do, as long as you know something's got to be doing it. That man can't do it. Not some cheap magician trick. Putting thy hand in thy bosom. Put his hand in his bosom. Was leprous. Put it back in again. White as snow and so on. It'll come to pass, they will not believe thee, neither hearken the voice the first sign, they'll believe the voice the latter sign. It'll come to pass, they will not believe also these two signs, nor hearken unto thy voice. Thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now in here, indeed, well, we'll read verse 21 also, please. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, I'm warning you, it won't do Egypt one bit of good. It'll harden them. It'll blind them. Won't do one bit of good. Go on down anyway. Alright? These verses is the start of the so-called contest with Pharaoh. Now, this all carries right on. What was done here in the miracles, the signs and wonders. Right on over the Red Sea. The complete defeat of the Egyptians. The miracle of man and water and health and blessing. But all Israel saw was the works which they liked to a degree, but only two people over 20 years of age plus Moses could understand that God, what God wanted was to believe him in a pillar of fire, God leading a people, a prophet who could sit still and just listen and follow. That's what the prophet said. I'm quoting absolutely William Branham, prophet of God. If there was a prophet, he was a prophet. If he wasn't a prophet, close your mouth and forget it. Because I'll tell you right now, there's just no such thing as him not being a prophet. And he said God gave them a prophet. The pillar of fire was there to lead them on out and lead them in. But they wanted a law. Brother Branham, how many songs should we sing? Well, I guess that's all right. No, kick it out. Brother Branham, how long is the service? Well, it's really not a bad question. Brother Branham, what can I do to be immortal? Ask him a good one. Well, how about praying? How about memorizing the Bible? The only people I knew who had photographic minds missed it. Do your alms work. Do everything you can. Won't do. It was what God wanted to do. And they turned down God flat. They liked the miracles. Now notice the way of God. A. Give a prophetic promise. B. Raise a prophet at the right time. C. Manifest himself and his word to the prophet, who would then be used of God in a proven ministry. D. The prophet would explain what was going on. E. Now it was up to the people to grasp what was being done, what and for what purpose of grace. Yep. The word was then given, which word would separate them from all nations and take them to where God could be their God. Because he said, this word is what makes the difference between you and all the rest. And that's Thessalonians. Isn't it? Well, isn't it? Let's find out. I quoted you out of Deuteronomy, I think, where he said this word's going to make the difference. He said, that's they're going to say, this people is such a great people because they've got such a law. They have got such a word. What does it say over here? Well, it says over here that they had not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, they believed a lie. Yeah. Couldn't stand still. Remember that sermon I preached on? Time of the resurrection, they couldn't stand still. Ephraim could not stand still for the firstborn coming out of the ground. If you're a bride, you've got no trouble. If Israel disappointed of both God and his ways. Now that's the record. That's the record. I didn't make it up, I've quoted you. Now these scriptural facts that I am giving according to this message, and the truth as found in Scripture, as in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and 7 to 19. Now, don't get so shaken when I whop your heads off at the beginning of service. You can't get this part. I'm a tough customer, and you know it, and I know it. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my words 40 years. How much is too much? It's too much when God lets his work stand a certain length of time in his grace and his word. And he said, I've showed you long enough. You're blinded now. And you're gone. Now, I was grieved with that generation. What generation? The generation that went out. There's a couple of generations you've got to get your eyes on. The generations that's in Israel at the time they're a nation. The generations that's here when we come out of Babylon. Remember, only two out over 20 got into the homeland. Two. All the rest died. God let them die. They weren't fit to keep. Nonetheless, they were the foolish virgin. That's right, they were. Prophet said so. I'm not giving you a lot of gas. They are. In their heart, they have not known my ways, he said. There's no room in your heart for my word. Same God. I swore in my, no, they have not known my ways. I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. They had every reason to know the ways of God by absolute vindication of the presence of Almighty God, the word of truth. They made him a liar. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God bring water out of a rock? Can God bring down manna? And when the manna came down, they said, yuck! Who can take it? Yeah, you know I'm going to say something that's the truth, too. Who comes to this church and is fed up with Logos? Who comes to this church and is fed up hearing about God? Already there's talk you've had too much. And seeing Him alone will put you in the resurrection, my brother, my sister. I didn't come here to snap your heads off for no reason. You got it coming to you, not you people here. Take the tape. Everybody isn't here, too. Go ahead. Put it across the land. I'm not through preaching to America. When I'm finished, God will take me. Kind of strange it took a Canadian to come down here to have a land of adoption, to be identified with the prophet, the connecting link, with the flame of fire called a spirit of prophecy. You do what you want with it. I know I got it. Fight it all you want, if you're so inclined to fight. See, He told me what to do, and I'm telling you what to do. Get into this Word, my brother, my sister. Get into this Word. And it doesn't matter if the sun rises or sets. For the watchdogs of hell bark in your ears day and night. The fiery serpents nibble at your heels. Don't think it's not coming. Don't think it's not coming. There's sweets coming down. I swear in my wrath, they'll not enter my rest. No way. Now listen, we're talking about millennium. It's not just the Holy Ghost baptism. This is the rest, the millennium. I want to be their God. I want to be my people. I'm going to care for them. Do you know that while they had decent kings and Israel walked before God three times a year, every male went up to the feast day. Never once was Israel attacked on a feast day when all the males were gone. You got a big God if you just knew it. He's bigger than any of us ever think He is. I'm glad I love Him more than I ever loved Him. I'm glad I know His grace more than I ever knew His grace. You may think I'm up here just a hard bit and I don't know the things of God. I want to tell you something. I almost called for a little testimony meeting tonight. That's because I love Him so. But you know my stand anyway. I've never loved Him like I love Him tonight. I've never known like I've known Him tonight. The deeper the waters, the better I know His depth. The higher the flames of war, the higher I know His love. Sure. Wouldn't lie to you. I'm not William Branham. Don't try to put me with those boys. But I wouldn't lie to you. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart, any of you an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. But exhort one another daily, was called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made companions. You know something? If my wife was a long-distance companion, my heart would likely get fond for somebody else. You know what I'm trying to tell you here? Companion means He's here. He's here. God was there, my brother and my sister. And He proved that He was there. And He told them a love story. And they turned it down. They had a better way. See, they didn't like a prophet. Most people don't like those things. Good thing we do. For we are made companions of Christ. And you know in Hebrews 1 and 9, it says, thou hast loved righteousness, hate iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, with your companions. Christ anointed for you and me. What good was His anointing? To this point, nothing. All for you and me. But God is here now to put all things under His feet. Paying back to Him who loved us so dearly, He gave His own life. A man did it. Oh, different from us, sure, but a man. A man did it. Do you wonder about the love of God and the love of man? See it in Jesus. Yep. Also, in 2nd chapter, Hebrews, the 12th verse, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. On the strength of whom was the name of God declared amongst us by God himself? Because that one that died upon Calvary standing there for you and me. And the one that put him to the test is here amongst us. And you know what the great gift of God is to Jesus? Well, I'm afraid you're going to laugh yourself sick at this one. But it's you and me. You say, Brother Vail, I think I could have done better than God. That's where you're wrong. You see, you couldn't have mixed the grace. You couldn't have mixed the proportion of love. You couldn't have done it. That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn, should literally yearn to cause someone like me to enter into his bliss, not resting until he should draw me nigh. How wonderful is love like this? Jesus died upon Calvary, procured a price, and now God is here to give that gift back. Oh, sure. There's nobody who's going to say, I'm worthy. I've been teaching all along for literally the last 2-3 months, whatever it is. Started the end of April, was it? Or end of March? Into April, May, and into June, telling you, you look at yourself, you're dead anyway, so why bother looking? This word never reflected you, yet it reflects him. Brethren, first fruit, many more like him. Oh, that gift of redemption. Oh, look. While today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts in the provocation, for some when they heard did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned whose carcasses fell in us? And to whom sware he that they should not enter his rest? But to them that believe not. Brother Branham said there's only one sin, unbelief. But this church is still categorizing it, aren't you? Oh, I don't pray enough. Well, certainly nobody prays enough. But I'm not saying I'm not saying that to excuse us. Look at yourself. What are you going to do until the rapture to make yourself better? Tell me. Well, you've already heard that maybe too much deep teaching might be making you miss a few things. Tell me. What are you going to do? Well, I want to know. I'm a teacher. The scripture says, obey them who have the rule over you, who teach to you the word of God. And it says, them, not one is him, them. I know my Bible, brother, sister. I know my Bible. I'm a teacher. Prophet said so. Here's that as a false teacher. He said, I knew you back because you see your seed. Where am I off the word? Unbelief. Enter nothing. Oh. God and you are going to do it, are we? If any message ought to kill that, Brother Terry Sproul should kill that one. Said establish a principle. Remember? That same week I said God was not a law. And life is not a law. God has laws. And life has laws. But God is not a law. And life is not a law. Now how are you going to get it? You got to operate something? They didn't believe. You see, you're trying to tell me that all Israel had to do was believe. That's the secret. That if there's anything anybody ever has to do, it would come from the faith. And God would have done it because of faith. Because if it's faith, it is no longer works. If it is grace, it's no longer works. No way, grace by faith. You follow and say the name? Time to take the 45 and blow some holes in the head. To make some new hopes. Brother Branham said, get rid of your own thinking. Let your mind go. The best way is a 44. A man in Canada got taken back to bondage. They blew his head off. You say, Brother Bale, you're guessing? I'm a pretty good guesser. He swore in his wrath. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. You know why? They started falling in the first place because they got into fornication. Idolatry. Mixed multitude. They'd never forgiven. The others that fell were foolish virgins. What about the end time? Chaff. That's not foolish virgin, that's chaff, sorry. Don't try to kid me. There is nothing, my brother, sister, in chaff. Foolish virgin one time had oil, but the oil went plumb out of the word. Foolish virgin died, chaff burned. Unbelief. What do you got to do? This is the works of God. You believe on him who has sent. I want to do the works of God. Believe on him that was been sent. Believe on that prophet that was sent by God. Lindsay wrote a book, A Man Sent from God. Pentecost will burn because of that book because they endorsed it. Because men like that guy down in Florida said, I'll expose him if you push me. He does that discerning by familiar spirit. Brother said, let me tell you something. That man tonight is in the never, never land. The Brother Branham said, let them pour acid in my stomach and put that oath upon me that the Knights of Columbus say they'll do to a Protestant. But don't give me 10 minutes of that. Or the Great Tribulation either. Where are those men? You say, Brother Vail. Don't Brother Vail me. I believe this word whether you do or not. Are you with Pastor Moses? He went down to Egypt and he said, gentlemen, I have news for you. I have a word from God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray Pharaoh into the kingdom. And when he becomes one of us, hallelujah, our troubles are over. And we'll just stay here. Yeah, you'll stay there, all right. That wasn't Moses' message. Get out! Didn't believe him getting out. Okay. Notice. I'll read them again. Next, the prophet would explain what was going on. Then it was up to the people to grasp who was doing what and for what purpose of grace. God's doing it. And what purpose of grace? Oh, said God, Moses, listen. Tell those people down there, I am fed up and I need fed up. I have heard their groaning, and I'm going to send you down, and you, get him, Moses! Get him, Moses! Get him, Moses! Is that what God's going to do to us? Grace. Grace. God's going to do something nice for us. I can talk rougher in a call, but God's still going to do it. I can sound mean as four horned bulls up here, you know, in fly time even. They get pretty pesky at that time. I know a little bit about farming. Not that I'm a farmer. Been around animals. Is that what he said a prophet was? Tell us he loved us. I'm going to do something for you. Stretched his hand. You know where? The word confirmed it with an oath. That word is not confirmed. It means he interposed himself. God himself came down. Raised his hands, said, time's run out. Little Brad, time's run out. I love you. Israel didn't believe it. They wanted the law. Now hear me, I'm quoting Prophet William Branham that you say you believe in. I don't do much quoting. If you know doctrine, you don't have to. You just, the quotes come to you as you need them. The great filer in the computer of the soul can pull them out. He's called the Holy Ghost. And the scripture is called bringing all things to remembrance, what I said. And if it's not in your memory, he can't bring it out. All right. It's up to the people to grasp who was doing what and for what purpose of grace. The word was then given, and which word would separate them from all nations and take them where God could be their God under the explicit conditions of the covenant. Ours is millennium, brother, sister, where the devil is tied with a chain of circumstances. Like I could say to this lamp, will you dance with me? Doesn't even hear me. Would you go to the beer bar and have a drink with me and we both get drunk? He's not interested. The devil can combine that great millennial day, run loose like the wild man that he is, and try to seduce and persuade each one of us. We'd say, what are you talking about? You don't seem to get through to me. What are you saying? What is that anyway? Why don't you try some other planet? This one is occupied by a strange people who can't respond. That's the hour. He interposed himself and raised his hand, said time's run out. All right, listen. Israel disapproved. They disapproved of God. They disapproved of God's ways. Brother Branham hit it right on the head. The Pharisee said, oh, if he was that one, he'd have come down the corridors of heaven with a big, beautiful red carpet, and he'd have come to us and said, oh, great Caiaphas. Oh, great pie in the face, he would have said, maybe. God should come down a corridor to any man. God came down as his own name, my brother, my sister. Yeah, he was his own man. Oh, yeah. Now he's his own man. He's his own prophet. Oh, yeah, he's his own apostle. He's his own teacher. He's his own pastor. He's his own evangelist. I'm a great teacher. We're the great pastors. Let me tell you something about pastors. They got carried away in that first century because Paul said, the elders come and get us to get together and I want to talk to you. And the elders said they were somebody. So the pastor changed their name from shepherds to elders. And now they're the chief authorities. That's why Joe Coleman founded, why was it shepherds, a place to make him a great man? Because he was a shepherd. You're being cut to pieces very thin tonight with a little razor blade. Have you caught what I'm saying? Here's the Bible. Would you come and stand beside me and preach it different? I'll give you a chance. Anybody, come up. Stand right here. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. Happens I know certain things you might not be aware of. I have a little gift. And that gift is not just a gift to God to know Scripture. But it's also a gift to read the right book at the right time. It's true, I'm not lying to you. I don't have to read book after book after book. And I find those little goodies. And that's the doctrine of gnosis. I know something. And the pastors have it today. And the teachers have it today. And this message is full of them. Now, if you heard what I said, you people know you can be in very tough shape listening to people. The prophet said, be certain of God. Oh, I could vindicate myself surely on the strength of what the prophet said to the witnesses. I never ever told you to listen to me and to follow me. Never once have I told you. And I'm telling you, less even than ever. Where would you go to follow me? Have I taught you exactly how it is that I know that I have no guilt before God and I have no fear? Can I transmit something to you and tell you how to get it? Can I tell you how I got it that you might get it also? Can I tell you how I stood in the presence of the prophet and said, Brother Bale, I saw you coming? I can't do anything for you. Nothing I can do for you. There's one here. Can turn on the light. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm telling about him. I never point to myself. Once in a while, I talk a bit about myself, but anybody can do that. Just forget it. But he's here. I know he's here. See? Now listen. There's your proof right there. Exodus time. Exodus time. All right, listen. In Moses' day, it was God present to back up Moses. Right. In Moses' day, God was present to back up Moses. But in Jesus' day, God was there to back himself up or to prove who he was. If you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your sin. He said, Moses gave you manna. I give you bread that will not perish. Drink my blood, eat my flesh. You got life in you. They couldn't take it. So all John the Baptist had to do was to explain John's own presence and mission as being Isaiah 40 and Malachi 3, the forerunner of Messiah, who is Emmanuel, even Elohim in human flesh. John is prophet. One, explained what he was all about. Number two, pointed out God in human flesh. Then that one, Jesus, proved who they both were. Just like in Moses' day. Right? Yeah. But what happened? They disapproved and killed both John and Jesus. Yet the principle was there. Oh, yeah. Just how God always did things. The word coming to the prophet, God manifesting himself, proving it was he. Listen, people, I've got something for you. Hear my prophet. He that receives from my sin receives me. And he that receives me receives the one that sent me. So we're all one in this great, wonderful cyclotron tonight. All one. Oh, yeah. Don't try it another way, Quincy. You're 2 inches from death if you only knew it. So how do you know, Brother Vail? Why do you think God gave me that meaning? It wasn't yours. It was mine, right? Oh, wasn't it? Did you put it on? I got you over there. It wasn't yours. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with clubs. Nothing to do with anybody. One man. And I sat back and did nothing. Literally, nothing. But I knew that meaning. Yeah, that lies you. They said, God, if you don't do it, nothing. We're not ignorant. And I'm not boasting. Because I do know things from God the odd time. That was a meeting I begged for 4 years ago and I couldn't have it. The meeting I watched for all these years and I couldn't have it. Now let me tell you something. There wasn't one minister out of line with each other and nobody knew what the others really doing. I didn't know. But God knew. Simplicity. He's here. What is he doing now that he is here? Apply that to the church. Take it through the word. You had 4 sermons. You believe what you want? That's your privilege. I believe what I want. And I believe from that meeting, the pressure's coming down as it has never come down. The gates of hell. Against the crucial living revelation that he is here. But he won't tip his hand any longer. He's tipped it. And the next showdown is Mount Zion, which is rapture. I'm going to be a part of that rapture. Going to be a part. I don't know who's all going to be there. I believe the prophet said, you believe you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Absolutely. I believe a lot of other folk are going to be there too. They may be very few in number when you consider those of all the ages. Certainly there'll be few in numbers considering all the ages. The prophet told us that. Let's not be ridiculous. We're going to be there by the grace of Almighty God. Now listen, but only the elect will ever understand what God is doing. We go to Luke
chapter 1 and verse 17. And he shall go before the Lord God, the Spirit of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the father's children, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And a prepared people is elect. The prepared vessels is election. Only the elect, and no one else will receive the message. Only 20 got into the promised land. All the rest had to die. And only those under 20 got in because their minds were still not versatile, but pliable to where they could grasp it and go on in. Brother Branham said, you turn this down, you put your ear to the door, and they run a needle through it, it's called an awl, and your marks you'll never hear again. And that's what happened, that mixed multitude. Because Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rose up and they said, ha, what is this talk about one guy having it all? We got something too, and they did have something, and they died. Yeah. And Moses glorified himself, and he died. Woe betide anyone who glorifies himself and say, I will make it, watch me, I have something. We will do it this way, we'll do it that way. God said, Moses, speak to the rock. But Moses forgot all about the grace that was one day in his heart when he said, oh God, if you kill them, kill me. He forgot it was all a matter of grace and he smote the rock. It won't work, my brother, sister, because the law was fulfilled in Christ. What law are you going to fulfill? And that law was not because you did something. The law was death because man has sinned. When Jesus died, we're not Seventh-day Adventist, Pentecostal missionary alliance, Seventh-day nonsense, cults. We're elect of God. We understand we're talking of life. He fulfilled that law of condemnation that said death. And he died, because that's what the law did. There wasn't one thing anybody could do. Jesus himself couldn't do. He was done in. Yeah. He was done in. Hanged on a Roman tree. Freely gave his life, sins for you. What are you going to do, my brother and my sister? Well, I'm not saying go out of here and go to the bar room downtown and get drunk and murder somebody. Listen, if there ever was a day that there should be fruit, it should be now. If there ever was a day there should be the charismatic possibilities in the right way in the church order, it should be right now. If there should be any such thing as fruit, did I say fruit or carriage oil, put them together, it should be now. If there should be nearness to God, it should be now. If there should be obedience, it should be now. But that won't do. I won't do it. See, certainly. You don't think for one minute I'm sitting back on my uppers and thinking that I shouldn't have more. Oh, mercy me, no. The more I see him and see his love and grace, the more I can hate myself. But I've taken my last look because it doesn't do any good. I can hate myself till doomsday. That won't do it. Only believe. See? Well, now Christ who has a life shall appear. Now, this is supposed to be a short message, but there's no such thing as a short message with me, so forget it. So I'm going back to the Garden of Eden, hopefully, to try to show you the roots of how I see this all started. As to this way of God, which is, in these words, how did he manifest or interprets his word by bringing it to pass? And still needs someone to explain it so to let the people know exactly what has gone on and what is to come. Yeah. Yeah. Now you tell that to the guy out there, he's going to laugh at you. But that's the Bible. That's the Bible. The prophet told us the very thing I'm telling you tonight. Repeating it. So nobody can fail at this little bit, at least. All right. Now, then the people enter into what is there for them and become the fulfilled word of God. Now, this part which I'm going into is partially negative. Now I can do that. It must be the Lord help me because I said it and I'm going to give you the scripture on it. I got it right here.
Okay. For wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is a law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him to come. Adam in his sin, Jesus in his measure of life, yet Adam is actually a type in the negative. Follow what I said?
Right.
So I'm giving you some negative tonight. Don't feel bad. But I want to show you this precept, started right back in the Garden of Eden. Okay, we go to Genesis 2, 18 to 25. Genesis 2, 18 to 25. Okay. Now this is the kind of thing I like because of its tremendous interest to me. 2, 18, 25. Can't find that in 18, 2 to 25, so there's looking there. Alright? Okay, God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and all the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, and by Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep, Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of mine, bone of flesh of mine, flesh shall be called woman, she taken out of the man. God said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and there'll be one flesh. And they are both naked, the man and his wife are not ashamed. Alright, now notice. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she's woman, because she came out of me. God said, therefore shall a man, therefore, because of this thing, how it was done, and everything else, and the presentation of her to him, he'll leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and there'll be one flesh. Now, and there was no condemnation, but only the condition stated, they were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Now let's look at verse 24 again. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and there'll be one flesh. A, Adam was not born. He did not have a mother, except Mother Earth. Oh yeah, Mother Earth. Sure. The earth was his mother. Doesn't the woman build the baby? For the life? Man has a life, let's face it. Okay? He had a father. Luke 3 and 38 says that Adam was the son of God. See, Adam knew only God in a personal way, as he is his progenitor, and not the earth, for the earth is inanimate. The earth was his bedding ground. The earth was his bedding ground. Brother Branham said, you were in your father's loins. You could not have fellowship. But one day through holy matrimony, in the proper bedding ground, through your mother, that seed came forth. Bedding ground. All right. Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right. Because of this, he must have known how his body got here, for he was in a spirit form originally, according to Genesis 1, 26 to 29, where even at that time they were told to replenish the earth. Now, you've always got to start with something. See? Something to start with. Let's go back to Genesis 1 to make sure we get all this in here. God said, let's make man our own image, after our likeness. Have them in your fish to see, cattle there, and so on. Created man in his own image. Image of God created him. Male and female created them. Blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply. Have them in your fish to see, and so on, so on. But just don't eat the truth. You know, have the, what you're going to have is going to be in the line of fruit and those things in the garden. Now watch carefully. 2, 24 to 25 again. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat it, for the day of the eating of dying thou to surely die. With the result of three 19 to 20. The sweat of thy face shall eat bread, shall you return to the ground. Out of it you were taken, unto dust you return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. All right. Do you understand what we're saying here? Let's look at it again so you'll understand. First of all, he said, and the Lord God said, of every tree you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, because the day you eat, that's the day you die, you go back to the ground, you lose me. You're separated from me. We don't stand here and talk anymore. You and I are finished. Then he says over here, he said, it's a woman that's going to do it. And the conditions were they were naked. Serpent seed. But I'm not preaching on serpent seed. I'm just showing a law. Now listen. God being his own prophet, and there being only two people, he says to Adam in Genesis 2 and 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and there'll be one flesh. He said, you're going to leave me for her. You are going to leave me out because of her. I'm going to get the cold shoulder, the boot. That's exactly what he says. Now then, Adam is stumped. For here are three unique things. Number one, a warning of death. Number two, a prophecy of leaving. Three, an act that leaves God and brings death. It's all the same thing, isn't it? I'm thinking too fast that, but you understand what I'm saying here? See, I went to show you how this all starts. And I took you right back to the Eden to show you that God said it. God was his own prophet in prophesying, and God stood right there and saw it gone, and the interpretation of the word that we're talking about tonight was manifested as to what it was, serpent seed. Sexual intercourse. He said, you're going to leave me out. You're going to take the woman. You're going to do it together. You're going to leave me out. And they did. Because God was going to give the bodies. Well, they breathed the life that God gave them and spoke them into existence. Like Brother Man said, a hand blew on it. Not quite that simple, I don't believe. Much more intricate. So that now God has got to produce the bodies out of the ground. But before he does, he's got to put the spirit in there that they bypass. Now then, they are to be fruitful. They are to multiply. But death works. And omitting God is prophesied concerning the act that makes him cleave to the woman. Now here's what I'm getting at. The prophecy was there. Only by its fulfillment allowed, in and through the two of them manifested what it was all about. It's the only way. And only the explanation by God opened up to them what was now presently with the human race. See? Then God moves into Genesis 3, 14, 15. So we go to it. See now, watch what happens. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, every beast of the field, thy belly shall be upon your belly you go, eat dust all your life, and the enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it'll bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, who's doing the prophesying? God's his own prophet. Upon what basis? On the basis of the first prophecy, you're going to leave me. It's going to be sex. It's going to be with the human race. It's going to be the fall. Now the next process, I'm going to redeem them. Nature's going to go down. Now you tell me that's not exactly what happened when Jesus came on earth to redeem us. Prophet, God, death, explanation, the whole thing. See, is this mic out? Huh? Is it? No. Thought maybe it. I might have tripped on a cord or something. Might have pulled here. Okay, now, we're looking at this. He's moving into 3:14 again. I read it to you. Now he goes on, unto the woman, multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. See? Leaving God out, cleaving to the woman, sex. That's why men leave. Certainly, to have their own homes and all.
Now, it's going to be sorrow. Your husband rule over you. See, that's the new covenant unto her. And Adam said, because you're hiding your wife, there's going to be sorrow in the resting of food from the ground. The earth is cursed because of you. See? Now there's only one way for everything to come back, and that's for the curse to be lifted and come back where the human body should have been, which is out of the grave in the resurrection. Then the earth can be returned around, and the things begin to happen the way they should. But notice the law that we showed you here. How it is everything we said that the prophet said. God brings it on, comes on the scene, and there's a prophet. God begins to manifest, to attract the attention. The prophet begins to tell them, and let them know what's going on. And when the people are brought into that orb, that realm, of that word of God, then they begin to be the living word for their hour. And brother, sister, that's what it's all about tonight. Pardon me, the word of God has been fulfilled. In Malachi 4:1-6, when he says, and there behold, I send Elijah the prophet, before the great and coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, the dreadful day. Now he said, there's a day coming. There's got to be a day of wrath. But he said, there's a great day when the Son of Righteous arise with healing in his wings, and that's immortality. That's the resurrection. So he is here to raise the dead at this hour, see? And there had to be a prophet. There had to be God. Now the prophet's gone. He's got to go. He's got to be gathered to his people. There never was a church age messenger that didn't go off the scene. They all got to go off the scene so that the word of God becomes fully effective in a bride. There comes a time when God must take over, and God will begin to lead. And there won't be one thing that bride has that the prophet didn't give, and give it perfectly, and it'll be revealed perfectly to that bride. See? He must increase, and I must decrease. And that's exactly what happened, the prophet said. So here you've got your picture. God's way of doing things. Just what the prophet taught you. Just what is going on at this hour. Now the question comes, the word of God is here manifested. It has been proven. And that word said, Brother Branham spoke 3 times on the rapture tape. Thus it has been spoken, and thus it will be. It's out of your hands and my hands, except one thing to believe. That's all. You don't have to know the intricacies. You don't have to know every little thing that happens. Certainly not. I wouldn't know everything that happens. I have a little potential, you might say, very small, infinitesimal, to have my own understanding, which satisfies me of what is going on. Because these are the things I look at. I don't look at those things out there. I don't worry about a charismatic move. I don't worry about pastors and others can take care of those things. Evangelists. One little thing I have is this. The prophet said, don't look back. Don't look forward. What is going on? And I don't set my heart and say, Lord, you got to show me. I just say, Lord, that's what the prophet said. Is there something you'd like to show me? Is there something that I can see? And it started 2 years ago. But every time I come back to the simplicity of that word, how God does things, He comes on that scene, and He'll bring a prophet on that scene with Him. God will be His own prophet. He will vindicate Himself. He will prove Himself. He will show Himself. See, there God Himself transformed into the very Word. And that Word now is true transubstantiation, because it is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, because the life is in it. And you and I partaking by faith, brother, sister, what else could we be but that word? What is it all about for that God to come on the scene and that prophet to come on the scene, but to bring the very thing to pass that God said must come on the scene? I ask you, what is coming on the scene? Resurrection. Immortality. Rapture. Who's going to do it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The Savior wretch like me, I once was lost. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace through all 6 church ages. It's grace tonight. Amen. It was grace that blinded Israel's eyes, that He might bring them in under His blood covenant of flesh, under the 5th seal. He won't lose one of them. And now the mystery of the Gentiles has run out. The Gentiles are being blinded, and God's turning back to Israel. Oh, brother, sister, all the songs that Brother Branham sung, they're all in tonight. I don't know how you feel. But the message did you any good or not? Time I whack around this way and that way, maybe nobody gets any good. Maybe I'm the only guy that gets a little therapeutic action up here. I don't know. I hope not. But I hope you see, brother, sister, that we haven't been fooling. And we haven't been fooled. See, you're dealing with God tonight. Oh, yeah. It's not to throw chills down your spine. It's not to throw you out there somewhere in the peripheral. No, not out there. No, not to uncoordinate you, but to get you to realize He's got to be here for somebody.
And who knew back there when Jesus was upon her? 12. Wonders of the devil. Few on the outside. Who was there in the upper room? 120. Who's at the end time? I saw Brother Branham. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. We'll quit. We'll go home. Saw him up in Portland, Maine, when we were up there together in the campaign. He came into my room, right at his, I forget which. We turned the TV on to see Oral Roberts. We saw him. Saw the thousands. I saw the tears flow down his cheeks. They said, Lee, I could have all that. But he won't let me. Oral, fine man. A lot of fine men in the world today. I got a tape from a Dr. Manners that's one of the greatest. He's called the greatest synthesist in the world. In other words, he learns everything from everybody and puts it together. On Loyola University, you know, just below Chicago, out there. He was out at Oral's. And he was telling years ago when we were kids, and some of you were kids at that time, when hospitals were two stories high and three stories high, and maybe four or five. Oral's is 63. They're 60 stories high, the hospitals now. One piece of machinery, one equipment, over $1 million. Oral's come a long way. Virginia Slim's never put a girl that far. You come a long way, baby. Oral's come a long way. I read my ads, and I can make fun of them. Oral's come a long way. We have them, Brother Banner. Came all the way down. But I'm going to tell you something. William Branham and a bride are immortal. And they are the whole purpose, this bride, of Almighty God in this hour, because he's come right down here to prove it. I'm not against Oral, really. Why should I be? He reads my handwriting, I read his. I had an expert teach me. His name is William Branham. I don't have any problem with that. But I want you to know this, brother, sister. That man cried. He was human, just like you and me. Yeah. There were lots of things he could look at and say, you know, I can take these gifts. I can do something about it. And I saw him the day he talked to his wife. He just talked to her. He said, you know, Meadie, if I use my gift like a lot of men did to have all the money coming in like they have, we wouldn't have rugs that you can almost, I mean, floors like you can almost drop a knife in the cracks. The wood is separated. A wood built by a genuine contractor, they charged him $25,000 and put a floor in where the, come on, hardwood is killed right. It doesn't separate. You look at that floor where the, you know, the dust and the lint gets in. And it looked pretty cruddy in plain English. And he said, Meadie, he said, you know, we could have beautiful rugs, he said. I don't have the money. If I couldn't charge if I tried, there's no way I could do it. See? That's what we're talking about tonight, brother, sister. There are a lot of big things out there. That's fine. There's a lot of ways people can go and do an awful lot of things. That's true. But we've got God on our side. Because a little handful of people recognize when a man of God comes on the scene and he tells us the way of God. Not like Israel who saw the works and turned down the way. No, they said, we'll go it alone. We've got our own ideas, our own schemes. But God was on the scene and said, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to drown all those Egyptians. I want to knock out all those people in that land over there. I want to take in where your shoes don't wear out and your clothes don't stink. You only need a bath. Where I feed you luscious bread in the morning and a pillar of fire at night to keep you warm and a cloud to keep you cool by day. And if you get thirsty, I'm going to bring water out of the rock for you. Now you have a few testings on the road. But I want to take in. From there on, just hover you. Like a hen with her chickens.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stone the city. I wanted to do it, he said. But you wouldn't let me do it. Is the bride willing tonight to just let him do it? Not taking one thing away. This message doesn't take one thing. As Luther had greater glory than Catholicism, and Wesley greater than glory, and Pentecost greater than Wesley, so this message has the greatest glory. And it's not that you lose one ounce of justification or sanctification or any virtue. But you're in the presence of the living God, who will now do what nothing, no matter to what extent it is done, will ever do. No one but God can raise those dead and change our flesh, and he's here to do it. And he's here the way he specified. You follow me? Not one person, if you understood half of what I said tonight, can leave this building and put one word back on me or this church and say, I didn't understand. Because I believe you did. You want me to read again what I read you? Those points? I don't have to read them, you know. God, prophet, manifestation, explanation into the reality, the bride becoming the word of that hour. Right? That's right. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for mercy and grace. Can't thank you, Lord, for my explosiveness at all, but I do believe, Lord, I have preached your word. If I preached it unkindly, or in any way other than to simply put it across, which I can admit that I well do many times, that, Lord, I cannot take back anything that was said, no matter how it was said. I cannot take back what I see in your word here, right from the book of Genesis, starting with the negative, which I have every right to do according to Paul the prophet in Romans 5, and show exactly how it is, Lord. And if I have aggrandized myself, which I have not intended to, forgive me. If I have lowered the people, Lord, forgive me, they might be raised up, O God. We know time is short. And if I was to told them by the prophet, to somebody's got to tell them. Perhaps he did not mean to go this far. That is possible, Lord. If I have gone too far, forgive me. But not one word, Lord, can I take back at this moment. I do not believe I have to. And if there's something you show me that I should correct a little here, a little there, I'm only too glad, Lord. Because lips can blunder. Mouths can speak those things that they do not really intend to because their thoughts go racing down the road. So any little incident, something in there, Lord, I pray that you'll hear me now and forgive me and let the people know that what is really being driven at tonight. If they really believe this message, they know now with the apostles, there's no place else to go. They cannot go back. They cannot go forward. They've got to stand still and see the salvation of God. They've got to stand in your presence, Lord. We've got to stand there and recognize that. We know that, Lord. We know you're here in grace and mercy. The prophet said so. You're here in grace and mercy. And grace and mercy does not impute iniquity. Now, I know, Lord, all those things are in there which would have condemned us and we would have died, but we're looking at you tonight in grace and mercy and seeing the reflection come back and seeing Christ formed, seeing God himself in flesh, and we believe that tonight, Lord. Now, Father, tonight there may be sick among us. I don't know. I appreciate the brethren coming and praying for me. So we pray for those that are homesick and those, Lord, who couldn't make it because of sickness and this and that. Perhaps tonight even there are those like Lloyd having some problems. I don't know. We pray, oh God, tonight. Lord Jesus, maybe the sweet spirit is not here, but it'll come, absolutely. And we know it'll be all over the place, but we know that still at this point there is no lack, because the prophet always prayed. And we believe tonight, Lord, for healing. I believe, Lord, for more for myself. Be able to cope with Sunday coming up, O God. Be able to preach. Heavenly Father, help to that end. Bless your people, O God. Lord in heaven, bless them, because leaving here tonight, if I was their enemy, which I am not, or do I want to be anybody's enemy? And I do not want anybody for my enemy, if that is possible, which I do not know. Nobody knows but you, Lord. I would not want anything but blessing, O God. When the chips are down, the hour is here, I would not be able to stand. I know I couldn't stand and say that's something that they deserve, although that could be true. In many ways, I deserve things too, Lord. And I know people in grace and mercy and love say no, let it not be. We stand in the same tonight, Lord, with grace and mercy toward each. To believe for each other, to love each other, somehow, some way, O God, so that grace and mercy would be more abundantly manifested, and each one of us show more fruit and more understanding, because we need it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. We're ready to go. And I'll say this again, I will not take back anything I said. No way. No way, shape, and form. It's on the tape. I'll sign my name to it, and I'll stand on the record. I preach the truth.
and only the truth. And there's no great one amongst us except him. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. You and I may think we're somebody. The day's going to come, we're going to have to prove it. Oh, God, I don't want that. I don't want to have to prove anything. Because I'll just prove what I am in the flesh. I'm not interested. Let's sing. Anybody in voice? Lloyd's in voice? So to speak, good? All right, let's say take the name of Jesus with you. Lord, love you.